You need to get out of there. And I was thankful there wasn't any thunder and lightning. But we got to the car. We were okay. But what that reminded me was, Mike and my son-in-law, Mike showed me yesterday, on the way before we came back, a picture of a tornado that was about 3 miles away from us, that somebody took over Morris Island Lighthouse over that area. It was either came out of the water, maybe it started as a water spout and became a tornado, but we got out of there and I'm thankful that everybody was okay, but it was just one of those suddenly moments. I've learned in my relationship with the Lord that there are suddenly moments in our walk with Jesus. Somebody know what I'm talking about? Suddenly moments. If somebody could grab that table for me. Usually if I've got my hands free, I'm good, but now I'm holding the mic and I'm going to need some help. So we got to let one of the girls do it again. You know how bad that makes me look? Thank you. Girl power, right? It makes me look so bad when a girl's having to bring the table up for me. But this suddenly moment, God has a way of suddenly coming on the situation, on your journey, in your life, and the suddenly moment pivots and changes everything for you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? The moment of your conversion. What is it? What do you mean? The moment where you said yes to Jesus, no longer going to live the way I want to live and live my own life, live my own plan, my own path. I'm going to follow the way of Christ and follow this journey. And suddenly God changes everything about who you are. Amen? A place in your life where you say, Lord, I forgive me of my sins. I no longer want to live according to walking in that direction. I make a turn and walk the opposite direction, and suddenly things are different in my life. Everybody give it up for Zong. He's getting married next weekend. Amen? I saw you, man. I had to say something. Is that okay? We're so happy for you guys. So suddenly it's going to change for him, right? That was perfect. Thank you, Jesus, for that one. That was good. Suddenly. And the kids come on the scene. Suddenly. Things change. Things pivot. Things move in a different direction than you were going before. These suddenly moments in our lives, God intervenes in arrests and changes, and God can change the situation. How many have been healed in your life before? Your body physically healed suddenly, right? Suddenly, God changed, shifted, healed of emotions, healed of heart, healed of a bad situation, bad relationship, and God brought it around and healed the heart that was lost and alone. God can bring healing suddenly. And I think about this move of God that we're looking at in Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2. We're walking through these weeks together and this month together and thinking and praying and asking God, send your Spirit on my life. How many need the Holy Spirit in your life? I need the Holy Spirit in my life. I need to be part of every part of who I am. My waking up, my going down, my laying down, everything that I do throughout the day. I need the presence of God in my life. And I know that there's these sudden moments where God does things in my lives, and I believe it happens because we posture ourselves, because we're hungry for God, we're asking God, we're seeking God. After Jesus' resurrection, and he came back, and he appeared to his disciples, it says in the Word that over a period of about 40 days, Jesus appeared, reappeared. He came back on the scene, and suddenly he would be in that room with them. And we see these moments where Jesus is reappearing, and he's coming. And he's doing amazing works among them. But I want you to go with me in the end of Luke 24, if you will, just for a moment. And we're going to go to Acts. And I know my media team didn't have this one, but I'm going to read it for us in Luke chapter 24. I want you to see this morning. It says, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. And they were startled and afraid. Y'all see that in verse 36, chapter 24. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled, and why does doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It's me. It's myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And he talks about that. And actually, he gave them a piece of broiled fish, and they took it and ate it in their presence. Verse 44, he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled. Everybody say everything. And think about suddenly here. And he said to them, this is what I've told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem verse 48, you are witnesses of these things. Now watch this. I want you to underline this or highlight this in your word or write it down. Get it in your heart. Verse 49. I'm going to send to you what my Father has promised. Everybody say the promise. More time, the promise. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Father, in the name of I pray, Lord, over these next few moments together, this little bit of time that we have together on Sundays, Lord, I try to squeeze a lot in, but Lord, more than anything, I pray that your Holy Spirit speak that word clear to us that you want us to hear today. I ask, God, that you'd make it a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God, do the work that only you can do, I pray, as we dissect, open up, and talk about this word, Lord. Do a work, I pray. Holy Spirit, take it and use it. In Jesus' name. Everybody say, Lord, do what you want to do in my heart today. So you see this account in Luke where Jesus is, this is one of the final places where he is saying before he ascends, he's talking about this promise, this gift. Everybody say the promise. This promise, it's a gift. And he's saying it's better so that I can send this gift that the Father has promised to you. You guys hear me okay? I think we've got a little bit of, is this working? You guys hear me okay? All right. Just want to make sure this is an important message. I want you to get it in your heart today. Now I want you to go to the book of Acts. And the writer of Acts is opening up this scene, if you will, at the first part of this community is together. And they're worshiping together. And it says that they're in one accord. They're in one mind. They're this place where they're together. But before that, and we see in the book of Luke where on one occasion while they were eating, he gives them these instructions. He says, don't leave Jerusalem. Greater works you're going to do. He says, but don't leave yet. I want you to do what? I want you to wait. Everybody say wait. I want you to wait on the promise, the gift that the Father has promised to us. I want you to wait in Jerusalem. Wait on what? This gift, the promise is made by the Father. And look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 10. Back up to it says, wait, verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. You guys see that, Acts 1? Is everybody with me? All right, talk to me because I can hear you that way better if you talk to me. I like a dialogue, not a monologue. I can preach and y'all can, but I want you to talk back with me, okay? Is that all right? We're Pentecostal church. That means we're loose cannons. That's bad. What's that means, I guess? But wait for the gift the Father has promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But I love this in verse 8. But you will, everybody say you will, receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, and this is where I want us to focus just for a few moments together right now, a cloud hid him from their sight. Verse 10. I wonder if you've ever really read this and paid attention to this. It says, they were looking, everybody say this with me, intently up into the sky as he was going. And suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. They were looking intently up. I want to talk with you just for a few moments about earnestly seeking him. Earnestly seeking him. Last week we talked about exalting him. The posture that we need if we want this third wave revival to happen, and we want it to happen right here at Rock Hill First, and we want it to happen throughout our world, the church has to posture itself and be hungry and thirsty for God to move. You understand that? Part of that, a big part of that, is that we've got to come to a place where we are hungry for God. We got to come to a place where we are sorry for our sins. We've got to come to a place where we repent. And we ask God to be our Lord and be our Savior. And more than that, we come to a place where we worship Him. And we lift him up. But so many times in our worship, I wonder if we really understand what true worship is. I love that. I love that in verse 10. It says they were intently looking up. How many love going to the beach or going to the mountains or just standing out in your backyard and just looking up to the sky? Looking up. And knowing that your Father is there, you know that He's right here. You know He's right beside you. But He's created all that's around you, and you intently look. And what I want us to know in our hearts today is that if we want God to move in our lives, in our church, in our hearts, I mean, you want more of God. You got to want more of God. You got to be intently, earnestly seeking after God. He's not just going to zap it and do it. It takes a heart that's hungry for Him. He's not one of these guys. He's not a God that wants to be like a puppet master and make you into a puppet and make you do the things He wants you to do. No, He wants you to respond to Him, to love Him back, to love Him with all that you have and say, God, I am nothing without You. I need You. What a wretched man am I. My righteousness is as filthy rags, Paul said. But God, Your righteousness, Lord Jesus, if this is one drop of blood, of Your precious blood, Lord, and it cleans me up, it changes me, and suddenly I'm a new person. Hallelujah. How many experienced that before in your life? You got to want that. You got to be hungry for that. I don't know how many in the room have ever been to the Holy Land. Everybody ever been to the Holy Land? Raise your hand. Because you would know better than me. I've not been there yet, and I'm hoping that we can take a trip someday real soon and maybe even take a trip from our church. I got a good friend, a professor at Southeastern, that said, hey, we'll set one up. We'll do it. Maybe we can set that up for a couple years out or maybe even next year. Wouldn't that be fun just to go to the Holy Land and see some stuff? But I've heard that when you go to the Holy Land, there are places, designations where Jesus walked and Jesus taught and Jesus did miracles. And there's some places where they know beyond a doubt of a shout that place, it happened right in that spot. They call that a designated spot where we know Jesus did this miracle at that spot. We pretty much have documentation, historical facts. We know that's the part. There's also B designated places where we think it happened in a close proximity, but we're not exactly sure, but it was around this area. There's also C designated places where we know it happened in this village or in this town, and we know this happened in this place, but we don't really know the spot. And so when you learn these places. But there's one place in particular that's very intriguing to me. It's an A designated spot, and it is the steps that lead to the temple for prayer. Which when we read in the book of Psalms, and actually it's recorded in Psalms. If you start with chapter 120, 121, you'll see in your scripture where it says Song of Ascents. You guys remember that? And it goes to about verse of chapter 134, 135, where you see the Psalms of Ascents, the Songs of Ascents. And what this was, it was a place where the Levitical priests, every morning, actually twice a day, they would go up to the temple to pray, but they would begin in the lower part of the city, and they would ascend the steps that got to the temple. And actually, this A designated spot where the Levitical priests would approach the temple is still there today. You can see it today. And I've seen pictures of it. I haven't seen it. Maybe you guys have seen it in person, but there's steps. There's a stairway, but the steps are uneven. There are different sizes. There are different depths, and they're kind of offset from one another. And that's on purpose. Everybody say on purpose. It's on purpose. Why would you think that would be on purpose to lead to the temple, that it would be hard to navigate? Anybody got any ideas there? Because it would take you time to approach the temple. It would take you thought, methodically approaching the temple, the presence of God, the place that where God's presence dwelled, the place where we're going to go to the temple and pray. Now, look with me, if you will, in Psalm. Let's just go there. I think this will be fun. Go there with me in Psalm 121, if you will. How many love the Lord? Say hallelujah. Psalm 120, let's go with 121, because this is one of my favorite psalms, and I love how the psalmist, and this is what I think about, this is a scene here, the psalmist, is recording what the Levitical priests are singing out, they're praying, and they're singing out. It begins in verse 1 of chapter 120, then it goes to 121. It says, I lift my eyes where? To the hills, the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. And so they're beginning their ascent. They're at the base of the mountain, They're coming out of the city. They're coming out of this place of community, and they're wanting to get along with God. And they're being intentional about this, and they're beginning the steps. Remember, these steps are uneven. They're different depths, different sizes, and so they have to navigate this. They have to watch what they're doing. They have to be careful about their steps. You have to be careful about their steps. Anybody catch that? Guard your heart, and they're careful about their steps. And as they approach, they said, I'm going to lift my eyes to the hills, for where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Not in my own ability, not in my own strength, not in my own hands, but my help comes from the Lord, who is the author and maker of heaven and earth. And they began the steps together, and they began to walk up together. Now, you can read through this scripture. You can read through 121 and 122, and you can begin to walk through this together. But watch what they say in the early part of this. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Talking about your foot slipping on those steps as you go up. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day or the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And so they're singing these songs as they approach, as they go up. And they get about halfway up, and you can see as this progression of songs, they begin to look over the city. Because you're getting up higher now, and you can look over the city and see, and you begin to pray over your city, over your community, and they're walking, they're approaching the temple, and I love that they're earnestly seeking the Lord, they're intently looking up into the sky, and I think about these disciples when Jesus was appearing and reappearing before them, and all of a sudden he's gonna ascend into heaven, and it says that they looked intently to the sky. I'm wondering today, where is your focus right now in your life? Where is your focus? Are you intently seeking God, or is he just a part of who you are? If he's just a compartmentalized part of your life over here or over there, and your focus is somewhere else, that's really up to you. I don't know where your focus is at. You have to ask that question of yourself. Maybe that's a good place to say that right now. Where has my focus been? Where has my focus been? Am I intently looking to Jesus? Now, I love this when it talks about, Jesus says he wants us to wait on the promise the Father has given us. And as pastor of Rock Hill First Assembly, I'm praying that we are doing exactly what we are instructed to do in Scripture. We're waiting on the promise of the Holy Spirit. But while we're waiting, we just can't be twiddling our thumbs and kind of doing our own thing. We got to be seeking the Lord while we're in our waiting. We got to be focused on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the maker of heaven and earth, the Omega, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the first. He is the last. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He's our healer. He's our spirit baptizer. He's our soon coming King. We've got to be focused on him. We've got to be intently seeking after him and looking to him. The problem we have, and I love what the writer Dallas Willard says this, he says, hurriedness is the enemy of our souls. Hurriedness is the enemy of our souls, and we must do everything to rid our lives from it. Hurry. Hurry. I've got to go here. I've got to go there. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And when you got young kids, you learn that real quick. It's suddenly, right? Everything changes. You're running here. You're running there. You're doing this. You're doing that. And I'm wondering where our focus is really at. And I'm wondering why we don't see the move of God that we're hungry for. Is it because of our lack of intently looking and searching and intently looking for the Lord? Are we really hungry enough for God? I want us to think about that. And where we're walking today, where our focus is at. Because if we're wanting a move of God, our focus has to be on Him. Finding silence and solitude in my life is something it's so important at this junction in our life. Do we carve out time and margin in our schedule to be with God? I would encourage you to make a daily appointment with God. As I said last week, let your prayer life be a constant conversation, if you will, with God all day long. You talk with Him. You walk with Him. I love what we see here, this progression, the song of ascents, and I want to kind of wrap this up because I want us to also pray for our kids today as they begin to come in, and I want us to lift them up before the school year starts. But one thing I want us to see is that when they get to the designation of the temple, they get to the temple doors, and you can see this if you go to 134, 133, 134, go there with me if you will. And they began to, and I believe this is the same scenario, if you will, of what we see in Acts 2. And that's why I'm paralleling the scripture with Acts 2, because I think it's very similar. In Acts 2, we see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the church, amen, the community. But what we see there, it says they were all in one accord. In other words, they were all together. They were postured. Everybody say posture. They were postured together. They were from all walks of life. They had different desires, different things going on. But they were in mind and heart, they were hungry for God. And we're not a perfect people. And we're not in perfect harmony. And I thank God's will for saying that you recognize the unity in this church, because I see it too, my brother. We got a long way to go because we're imperfect people, but we're working on it, right? And it's the Holy Spirit that brings us together. It's the Holy Spirit that unites us. Amen, guys? And so what they had in the community in that upper room when the Spirit was poured out is they had the posture together. It wasn't mean they were perfect people. Matter of fact, this is not a perfect room of perfect people. If you're looking for a church that's perfect, then good luck on that one. Just go, you're going to be around a lot of different churches because you're not going to find it. Because churches are filled with people that are not perfect. But what we see in the book of Acts is that there were people that were hungry for God, and they were one accord in their mind, in their heart. You understand that? They were one accord in their purpose. And they were hungry for God. So we've got to, in our house of worship here at Rock Hill First, we've got to intently seek and earnestly seek Him with all of our hearts. If we want an outpouring of His Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives, we've got to be intently looking together for that. And then we're all in one accord. And that's what we see here when the Levitical priests get to the place of worship. They get to the temple. I love this. They get to that place where they're all together, and then all of a sudden they begin to sing together, and they say, "Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord." Y'all remember that one? That's what they're singing. "Lift up your hands in the holy place and bless the Lord, and bless the Lord." That's what they're singing. They're all together and they're singing together and they're worshiping. They walked all the way up those stairs, and now they're at the temple gate. They're at the temple doors, and they walk into the temple, and they begin to, as a Levitical priest, together declaring the Lord, and they begin to say, "Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lord, lift up your hands in the holy place and bless the Lord, and bless the..." I'm going to sing it one more time so y'all can catch it. Y'all can repeat after me, and I'll say, "Come bless the Lord, come bless the Lord." We'll do that, okay? But before we get there, I want you to get this picture. They're not a perfect people, and we're not a perfect people, but something happens when we come together. Amen? It's a suddenly place. We can present a project to you that we want to help put a roof on a church, and we need $7,000, and all of a sudden you guys, it's a suddenly you give. We have a need in a congregation. We learn of someone who has an accident, or there's been something happens and someone's sick in their family, and we come together, and suddenly we pray and we believe, and God moves. Amen? Suddenly moments come when our hearts are united in worship and our hearts are united in our hunger for God, our desire for God. It doesn't mean that we're going to be perfectly in harmony with one another. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have different objectives or different, because we're different people. And we're not going to be perfected until we're all glorified bodies, if you will, and we're together in eternity. Amen? And then we will be a perfect people because of God doing that and transforming us in that place that we're going to be at for eternity. But here on earth, it takes intentional seeking and hunger for God, for God's presence to be poured out in our midst. And here we come to this place in this temple together. We come to this community together, and we've approached the temple, and we've got to the steps, we've got to the temple. I think that's probably the problem. Is that we systemize, if we programize, if you will, our worship. We drive to church, we get to church, and sometimes we have interesting discussions on the way to church, amen? So by the time we get to church, we gotta hurry in, we grab our coffee, and we know there's gonna be songs, there's gonna be three songs, and then prayer, and then another song, and it's all systematic. Listen, when the Levitical priest approached the temple, it took time to get to a place of worship. You come out of a work environment, a rhythm in your life, of just going and hurrying and getting from there. And we've got like an hour and a half on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night to just pour into you God as much God as we can, to come together intently seeking the Lord together, worshiping God together. Listen, we need a move of God 24/7 every day of the week, not just those little windows of time. Because you, all week long, you're overwhelmed. There's so much stuff going on in our world. You turn the news on, my gosh, the world's lost its mind, and I'm wondering where God is and where God is in the church. We've got to come to a place of true, authentic worship of our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords and lift Him up. And they come to this temple of worship and they begin to exalt the Lord. Imperfect people worshiping together is a beautiful thing. I want you to stand to your feet, and I'm going to give you one more time to get this song right, okay? I'm going to say the line, you say it after me in an echo. Come bless the Lord, come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the holy place and bless the Lord. And bless the Lord. One more time. Come bless the Lord. Sing it out. All you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the holy place and bless the Lord. And bless the Lord. Father, I pray that you would help us to rid our lives of hurry, that you would help us to carve out margin, Lord, in our lives to a place where we can have some solitude and silence in you, to listen. Lord, bring us to a place of earnestly seeking you with all of our hearts as we learn to posture ourselves. Holy Spirit of God, Father, thank you for your promise. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. You guys, if you just begin to play a little music for me, I'd appreciate it. Everybody in the house, before we pray for our kids, I want you to right now just to focus and look to the Lord. Look to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. And as you poured your Spirit out on that day of Pentecost, as you have poured your Spirit out on several places in history that we have seen, I'm believing, Lord, before the rapture of the church in these last days that we live in, I'm believing, God, and I'm earnestly seeking, Lord, and I'm asking, God, that you would do it again. Father, you'd pour your Spirit out on your people. This world desperately needs you, Lord. It needs the church. And you have, Lord, ordained the church to be the conduit, Lord. You want to bring healing to this world. And I pray, God, that Rock Hill First would stand in a place of posture, saying, Lord, we're not a perfect people. We've got a long way to go, but God, you've brought us so far. And I pray, as we pray together, Lord, pour your Spirit out on us. Pour your Spirit out on us, God. We need you, Lord Jesus. If you're here this morning, you'd say, Pastor Steve, I hear you. And I know we need the presence of God, but individually, I need God. I've got things going on in my life that I know aren't pleasing to God, and I need God to heal me and forgive me. If that's you this morning, maybe you're in the room or maybe you're watching online, this is a perfect place right now to say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I know that I cannot save myself. And I know, God, that you sent your Son, Jesus, to die for me. I turn from my sins and I ask God you'd forgive me, be my Lord and be my Savior. And I'll follow your heart all the days of my life and I'll seek you. I'll earnestly seek you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Maybe you're here this morning and say, Pastor, I know the Lord. But honestly, it's been a struggle lately. And you're needing God just to do something in your heart. But listen, don't interpret the stillness or the aloneness or the distance you feel from God. Don't interpret that as God not coming to you, because God is stretching to you. He's wanting you to stretch to Him. And I'm just asking that you would lean towards Him right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for every heart and every life in this room. And if I'm speaking to somebody about that, either online or in this room, I pray that you'd help them to lean in right now to know you, God. And as they lean towards you, help them to see more and more that you're stretching towards them more than they realize. That you love them with an everlasting love. They are the apple of your eye, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, collectively as a body, we ask, Lord, that you'd pour your Spirit out. Could y'all pray that right now? Lord, pour your Spirit out on this house. Pour your Spirit out in my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God. And we give you the praise and the glory. Hallelujah. Can we just give a clap offering of worship to the Lord right now? Thank you, Jesus.